If you go into training inwardly, act normally outwardly. Act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair. Brush your teeth. See, it's not just me saying this. Brush your teeth. Wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you're doing. He will reward you well. Isn't that beautiful? He will reward you well. What we do in private, God rewards in public. When does he do that? Well, we don't know. And we don't do it for that reason, but it is something that God does. I mean, you just look at David. I mean, there's many examples in the scripture. But King David, he wasn't always a king, was he? David was a shepherd boy. What was he doing? He was in obscurity. He was out in the sheep with the sheep, feeding the sheep, looking after the sheep, protecting the sheep. One day, what happens? A lion comes to try and kill the sheep. What does David do? He grabs his staff, his rod. Sorry, he had a rod and a staff. He grabs his rod and he chases the lion away. And the Bible tells us a bear comes. What does he do when the bear comes? He chases the bear away. And the whole time he's doing this, he's seeking the Lord and making music on his harp and crying out to God. And he would have probably felt that no one was seeing him. No one took notice of him. But when it came time to appoint a king, we know that Saul reigned for 40 years. But after Saul's reign, God saw David. David had a heart after God, and Samuel came. Remember the story? All his brothers are brought out. God doesn't appoint them, but God makes the statement, I do not look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. David had a heart after God. What David did in private, God rewarded in public. Amen? As we do that this next week, as we seek the Lord, as we pray, as we fast in private, I believe the Lord's going to release something in our public lives. Amen? In our relationships, in our parenting, in our work situation, the Lord's going to grant us favor. The Lord's going to go before us as we put his word into action. Now this morning, a few stories in the scripture which have really encouraged me this week. As I've just been preparing my heart to pray and fast, through scripture, there's five different stories I want to share with you just quickly this morning. And in scripture, there's people who fast at different occasions, for different reasons, at different times. One of the people I came across was someone by the name of Nehemiah. Remember the story of Nehemiah? And Nehemiah and the nation of Israel had been exiled to Babylon. And then Nehemiah asked if he can go back to Jerusalem to see what it's like. And the Bible tells us that Nehemiah goes back there. This is what he saw. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept. Sorry, he hadn't gone there yet. He had heard a report about what had happened in Jerusalem. He says, I sat down and I wept. I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Have you ever been so despondent because of a situation that was overwhelming that you couldn't eat? Not because you didn't even want to eat, but you just couldn't eat. You couldn't. I went through that a couple of years ago when for a whole week I wasn't trying to fast, to be honest. I just couldn't eat. I just felt so sick in my stomach. You ever been in that time of your life when what you faced you thought was incomprehensible? It was mammoth. It was just too big for you. It was overwhelming. Well, Nehemiah, he was in this situation because what had happened? The Babylonians had come. They had destroyed Jerusalem. They had knocked down the walls. Remember that? And while he prayed and while he fasted, God gave him a strategy. God gave him a strategy to rebuild Jerusalem. Can I ask you this morning, what strategy does God want to reveal to you in this week? What strategy does God have there just waiting to whisper into your ear or allow you to read off the pages of his word or for someone else to come alongside you and say, hey, be encouraged. Or, hey, man, I've noticed this despondency about you. The Lord is with you. What is it this week that the Lord wants to reveal to us? God gave him a strategy as he prayed and as he fasted. And through that, Nehemiah was able to rebuild the city and rebuild the walls in a very small amount of time. You know, I don't know what kind of a dream the Lord has put in your heart. As you fast and pray this week, I believe the Lord's going to make that known to you. Amen? Just as he did for Nehemiah when he faced insurmountable odds, the Lord was with him. So firstly, when facing a mammoth task, fast and pray. We see that from Scripture. And Nehemiah is not the only one. Many others in Scripture prayed and fast when they had to do a big task for the Lord or had to hear from him. Secondly, Jonah. Who remembers the story of Jonah? Wow, what a story. And Jonah, what did he fast for? Well, Jonah fasted for the salvation of a city, didn't he? A salvation of a city and of individuals. Let's read from Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 through to verse 4. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. We'll remember what happened the first time. Remember the word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time. What did he do? He ran away, jumped on a ship that was heading in the opposite direction compared to where he was going. And then what happened? He had this experience with this big fish, didn't he? Well, now he learned from that mistake. That's good to learn from your mistakes, right? Well, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, part two, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh, which was a wicked, wicked place. According to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. That's how big it was. It took 3 days to actually walk through it. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast. Listen to this. This is incredible. They put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, listen to this, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or even drink water. Even their livestock. Wow, that's a bit mean to your pets, isn't it? This is what the king declared. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10. Listen to this. Then God saw their works and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Wow. Because of one man, Jonah, because of his obedience to the Lord changed his mind. Did you see that? God was going to bring disaster on the city of Nineveh because they were wicked and evil. They were so wicked that they would sacrifice their children to these pagan altars. That's how wicked they had become. Like, completely depraved of mind. And God speaks to Jonah. Jonah knew how wicked they were. And that's why he did not want to go there in the first place. But then the Lord kind of used subtle suggestion and got him there the second time around. I just think about the story of Noah in Scripture. The Bible says the world had become completely evil. There was only one man left who was godly, and his name was Noah. Because of this one godly man, the Lord says, God in heaven says, I will give humanity a second chance. Because Noah was obedient to the Lord. Who did he save as a result? all of us. But first and foremostly, he saved his family. When those flood waters came, what happened? That ark that he built drifted and floated above the rising tide, and he saved his family. By being obedient to the Lord, God saved his family. This is what happened with Jonah, how he saved the city from complete disaster. And God changed his mind. Did you see that? Isn't that amazing? You know, God can change his mind. If you can see somebody praying, if you can see somebody seeking after him, it's like that King Hezekiah. God said, you're going to die. Remember that story? You're going to die. And then the prophet comes and says, well, you need to repent of your sin. He repents and God gives him 15 more years. 15 more years because of a repentant heart. So firstly, people in Scripture have fasted when they faced insurmountable odds or mammoth tasks. Secondly, we see salvation for fasting for the salvation of a people group, of a city, and of individuals. We see people fasting in the New Testament when the Spirit prompted them. Wow! Has the Spirit ever prompted you to go and fast? Pastor Eddie shared that last week, didn't he? How the Lord said to him, don't drink water or eat food for 3 whole days. Remember that? He shared it last week. Eddie was fasting about the future of this church. Before our 2 churches had amalgamated. And things were looking pretty dire. They're actually going to lose this building. And on that 3rd day of the fast, my dad, Pastor Pete, led by the Holy Spirit, rocked up on that doorstep. Pastor Marguerite wouldn't let him in. She made him stand outside. And he said, look, I was driving down this road and I feel the Lord has led me here. She was like, oh yeah? You know, Pastor Marguerite, she can be quite stern. He said, yep, sure, others want this building too. But the Lord did an incredible work. After that 3 days of Pastor Eddie fasting, how the Lord brought my dad down here. Just at the perfect timing. He was prompted by the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? 100%. History proves that. We see Jesus. You know, the Bible said that Jesus was prompted. I'll read it to you. John 16:13. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. We know the Bible says that Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And guess what the Bible says after that? And Jesus was hungry. Man, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, I too would be ravenously hungry. And what does the devil come and do? He brings him a piece of bread, doesn't he? He says, well, you can pray and turn these rocks into bread. Aren't you that hungry? Jesus goes, oh, do not tempt. Do not tempt me. Do not tempt the Lord your God. Can I encourage you, during this week of prayer and fasting, you will be tempted. You will. If you've said you're not going to eat, well, man, you're going to go places and you're going to smell the best smelling food you've ever smelt in your life. When you give your dog the dog food, you're going to want to get the spoon out and take chunks of that dog food. This is particularly after a few days of fasting. The smell of that dog food, it used to smell rancid, but now it smells like the best thing you've ever smelled. There are going to be adverts on TV with the most incredible gourmet meals and specials at every restaurant and near your house. But you know, Jesus was tempted when he fasted. So we are no different. We too will be tempted by the lure of the world, because you know what? The devil knows how powerful it is when we fast. That's why he'll try and distract you. He'll lure you away from what God wants for you. See, this fasting that Jesus went on was a preparation, wasn't it? This was the preparation for his ministry. After he went through this 40 days and 40 nights experience, after he went through that temptation, the Bible says then, he starts his public ministry with signs and wonders following. It was this preparation period that the Lord had prepared for his son Jesus when he came into this world. Listen to this. I wrote this down. The more you choose to make fasting and prayer part of your life, the more sensitive you become to the Spirit of God. The more you choose to make fasting and prayer part of your life, the more sensitive you become to the Spirit of God. And this morning, I shared this with our team this morning. While we were praying at 10 minutes to 9, you are welcome to join us, by the way. Anyone can pray with us. 10 to 9, we pray in the prayer room in the front there, the Titus training room. The Lord gave me this picture of a TV screen, and the TV screen was fuzzy. Remember those old school TVs we used to have, the big massive ones? The big ones with the big tubes in them. They took up a whole table, and they're like this wide. We had one of those. I never forget, my dad electrocuted himself on it. Even though he had turned it off and unplugged it, he had this pliers, which never had a lot of insulation on the end of it, and it shocked him. I remember he got such a massive shock, it threw him across the room. I was standing him, passing him screwdrivers and things I'd normally do. And the electricity went through his hand and came out of his ankle. I never forget it. It tried to earth, didn't it? And there were sparks coming out of his ankle. I never forget seeing that. And I could smell his flesh burning. It's only God's mercy that my dad is still alive, honestly. Dangerous man. But he survived it. And those old TVs used to store electricity in this tube, even after you turned them off. Is that right? Yeah, right. And a capacitor that stored this electricity, and it shocked the heck out of him. But he still had to tell the tale. But you know, I remember that old TV from time to time. You have to go up to the side of it and give it a whack. Remember that? You used to whack the TV because it didn't work properly. Remember that? That's how we used to fix everything in the 80s. Just give it a smack. It worked for me. Anyway, my dad applied that onto my rear end a fair bit. Seemed to sort me out. Flick to the next channel. But anyway, I remember the TV. Sometimes when it wasn't, the aerial wasn't plugged in properly or hadn't been tuned, you used to have to tune it manually, maybe turn the knob. Used to make that sound. Used to be something like this. That white noise sound. Remember that white noise sound in the background? And then next minute you'd get a signal and you'd boop, and you'd get the colors would come up on the screen with the little logo, the clock and all that. And then you would tune your TV in. But you know what? I believe fasting is this. Fasting is tuning into what God has for us. It's tuning out of the fuzziness and the background noise of this life. And it's tuning into the Lord. And as we do that, we get clarity. Amen? We see more clearly. We hear more clearly what God has in store for us. That's why I do love prayer and I do love fasting. So the third one was, people have fasted after the Holy Spirit has prompted them. This happened in number four, when making important decisions. We see through Scripture in Acts chapter 13. We see here the early church make a decision to send out Paul and Barnabas to go and preach the gospel. Acts chapter 13. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and what did they do? Fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, this was before his name was changed to Paul, for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. As Christians, we cannot make godly decisions if we do not pray and seek the Lord and are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's true in my life. It was as they were praying and as they were fasting, one of the prophets among them said, hey, the Lord has shown me we need to release Saul and Barnabas. His name hadn't yet changed. We need to release him to go and preach the gospel, to take the word of God forward. What a great decision that was, right? As Paul went from there, he went on these three different missionary journeys around the Mediterranean, around that area there, and became the most prolific author in the Bible. And I think second to Jesus, the most profound character in recent times. And you know, we see this all happened as the early church came together and as they prayed and as they didn't eat, they said, Lord, instead of eating, we're going to pray. You know, Pastor Eddie said it last week that fasting without prayer is a glorified diet. That's what it is. Yeah, you might lose weight, a few grams, milligrams, or I don't know what it is. But you might not gain anything else. The more important gain is from the Lord, amen? Because you gain a lot when you fast. You don't just lose weight. You actually gain from the Lord. That's what we're desiring, amen? As they ministered to the Lord, as they fasted. I love this. Can I just emphasize this morning, just a reminder to us, you know, that fasting is just not just, as I said before, it's not just about abstaining from food, but it is really seeking the Lord with all your heart. And quite often we see, as I read to you before, in the Old Testament, when people prayed and fasted, they'd go into a state almost of covering themselves. The Bible says sackcloth and ashes, and I don't believe we have to do that now, but they really would humble themselves, wouldn't they? It was a real humbling experience before the Lord. Can I encourage you this week, as we pray and fast, let's do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord, amen? We're not doing it for anyone except for the Lord. And then just lastly this morning, there's an incredible story here. Excuse me. From Mark chapter 9. Incredible story. I'll just finish with the story this morning. You know, Jesus actually said, there are times in life where nothing but prayer and fasting will change things. Jesus said that, right? Let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 25 through to verse 29. It says, when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of the boy. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand. He lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out only or by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Powerful. There's power in prayer and fasting, because you know what? Earlier on in this chapter, the disciples had gone at the request of this man whose son had had this demonic influence in his lives, but they could not cast the demon out of the boy. Then Jesus came. And he reminds them that when we face some things in life which are greater than ourselves, especially the demonic, that we need to be in tune with him. Amen? That we need to separate our hearts, separate our lives, cleanse our lives of any uncleanliness, and come before the Lord. And after that had happened, you know, Jesus comes and he casts that demon out of that boy. It's a powerful thing. We see Jesus doing this many times throughout Scripture. Just my last Scripture this morning is Joshua chapter 3. I love this verse. It's one of the verses of my life. And Joshua said to the people, as they left Egypt, and they're heading out towards the promised land, he says this to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great and mighty things among you. Another translation says, wonders. Consecrate yourself for tomorrow. For tomorrow the Lord will do great and mighty things. Who knows what the Lord can do, amen? During this time of prayer and fasting, as we consecrate our lives before the Lord, who knows what wonders the Lord wants to do amongst us? Who knows what relationships the Lord wants to repair? Even if the person is on the other side of the world, or there's been so much conflict in a relationship that it almost seems irreparable. Who knows what habits in our lives the Lord wants to break off us? Amen. As we come before him and pray and as we fast. Who knows what new things the Lord wants to show us? Who knows what new businesses are going to be birthed? What ideas the Lord's going to drop into people's spirits after they've prayed and they fasted this week. Only the Lord knows. And that's why we need to pray and fast, amen? Because only the Lord knows. Can I encourage you this morning? We right now have a wonderful opportunity to seek the Lord. We have a wonderful opportunity to come before the Lord with prayer and with fasting. Can I encourage you over the next 5 days, Monday to Friday, as you fast whatever amount of days you're going to be doing or whatever your work will allow, can I encourage you, do it with all your heart. Amen. Be diligent before the Lord. And when you do that in the private, the Lord says, not that we look for it, but the Lord says He will reward you. That word in the Greek, it talks all about compensating you, actually. It's actually like a payment almost. And we know, you know, it's not by works that we save. We don't serve the Lord to get. But the Lord wants to bless His children, amen? Do you believe that? The Lord wants to show you great and wonderful things. These wonderful things that He has for us. And it's not just about getting things. No, it's not about that. It's about our souls, amen? The Lord wants to do something in your soul, in your mind, your will, your emotions this week. The Lord wants to touch that. Tonight we're gonna pray a prayer of dedication. If you want to join us tonight at 5 p.m. in the youth chapel, we're going to come and we're going to do this. We're going to consecrate ourselves before the Lord. And we're going to pray. We're going to anoint people with oil tonight. That the Lord will be with you this week. Amen. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit being in your life this week and leading you and guiding you into all that He has for you this week. Amen. Why don't we pray? Lord, this morning, as we come to You, we're just so grateful, Lord, that as we just look at these characters in Scripture, Lord, even as we look at Your own Son, Jesus, who fasted and then had the expectation that we too would fast when He said, when you fast. Oh God, we know that's in Your heart because that which is in Your heart, You want to reveal to us, Lord. And we know, Lord, the only way that happens is if we seek Your face, God. If we seek, Lord, not just Your hand, what we can get, but if we look to You, Lord, as that song says, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Lord, as we look to You this week, oh God, we ask, Lord, that You speak into our lives. Lord, we consecrate our lives unto You, Lord. For Your glory, Lord Jesus. That's our heart's desire, Lord. Lord, as Your word says, Lord, we don't do it for outward glory. Lord, we do it in private, Lord, to bring glory to Your name. Lord, we ask that You speak to us. Speak to us through Your word, Lord. As we read Your word this week, as we grapple with Your word, as Your Holy Spirit comes and ministers to us, as we take the time, as we pray together as families this week, Lord, we ask God for You to set things right in our families, Lord. Set things right in our lives, we pray, Lord Jesus. Set things right in relationships, Lord. Bring clarity, we ask, Lord God. This week will be a profound week, Lord. We ask this in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.